Look up, beyond, see life. Psalm 92, please just kind of keep your finger right there and keep your Bible open to that particular setting of Scripture. We often huff and puff through life, don't we? We often huff and puff through life. We drag through days, more fighting depression than finding delight. Discouragement is not uncommon to the people of God. I love to preach about Elijah, but Elijah himself, one of the Bible characters, who was a great prophet, but let's not forget, Elijah was just a man. He was a human being like all the rest of us. He was subject to human conditions, as we all are. In fact, Elijah, remember, sat under a juniper tree one day, said, "Lord, just let me die. Not worth it. Let me die." He suffered discouragement, despondency. He suffered depression. What about some notables like Moses and Paul? Did they not find down days as well? They certainly did. They found down days as part of their life as well. One of the greatest needs is to think clearly about life. Elijah, when he sat under the juniper tree, was not thinking clearly about life. Sometimes after an election, we don't think clearly about life. Sometimes when we lose a job, we don't think clearly about life. Sometimes when our kids go astray, we don't think clearly about life. What the man of God needed was some rest and refreshment. Sometimes what we need is rest and refreshment. I got to thinking about that, and I wondered in my mind what are the characteristics of lacking rest and what those characteristics might look like. Maybe you can identify with some of this. What would it look like if you didn't get enough rest? Now, I'm looking at folks who no doubt don't always get enough rest. See if you can side in with some of this. Maybe if you don't get enough rest, you'll become negative, critical. "Whew. I'm just tired, preacher, on the inside," you'll say. You'll find a dryness, perhaps, in your life. "I don't feel much of the Holy Spirit of God." Sometimes you'll feel unwanted, unconnected, unneeded, unfulfilled, wondering about meaning and dwelling on your mistakes. If you're not careful, you'll do that. You'll dwell on your mistakes and you'll be wondering about meaning of life and what your role is as a mother or as a daddy or whatever. "I'm tired." Not only did God's man Elijah do this, and he did that, so do we. Yet God has refreshment for us. God has real rest for us. When you open the Scriptures, you immediately come upon God's design for His creation. And the capstone, as some folks call it, the day of rest, or the seventh day. In fact, in your Bibles, probably somewhere at Psalm 92, it will say something like this. I don't know if yours does that. Not take a look. "Give thanks to God." Does it say that in your Bible? And some will no doubt say a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. Does yours say that? Does yours say that? How many says that? Let me see your hand. All right, some of yours do say that. Some will say the seventh day. Some will say the Sabbath day. What's the day of rest? The rest of, by the way, when it talks about rest, God has this refreshment for us, real rest. The capstone here is Psalm 92, but that rest of the Word of God doesn't have anything to do with sitting on a couch. Woo! Preacher talking about rest. I got to go home and sit on my couch or in my easy chair. This rest I'm talking about tonight has nothing to do with sitting on a couch or an easy chair. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It's not that void that occasionally falls on the page of your daily planner. That's not what we're talking about either. It is living, listen, it is living, here's the rest, it is living in the enjoyment of God's blessings. It is living with God in focus in your life. That's the rest. Living in the enjoyment of the focus on Almighty God. That's the rest. It is living with power and vitality and seeing life before you and your focus on God. That's the rest. Elijah needed that. So do we. So where can we catch our breath and get a little refreshing drink? Which way is it to the rest area, preacher? Where do we go? Psalm 92. Look at Psalm 92. It's a song of that day of rest, the day of gathering of God's people. The song kind of bores in on one of the major aspects of rest. This song is a bullseye shot to find deep breaths and a refreshing drink. What would you think is at the center of the target? Okay, what's the target of rest? Right away, if I asked this crowd of people, there would be a lot of different answers, but the first thing somebody would no doubt say, the target is, preacher, some time off of work. That's exactly what somebody would say. Time off. Some of the rest of you would say, no kids in the house. Some of the kids would say, no parents in the house. Amen? The perfect vacation, preacher. I need a vacation. How many times have we heard that? That's what I need. I need a vacation. I need the perfect vacation. Or maybe you would say, not only perfect vacation, but maybe it's time to get away. But the song of the Sabbath, the time of corporate worship, is a day when we focus on praise, and it will give us some great insights into what it is and what it does and the rest that it brings. Be certain that you tonight don't see praise as some stopgap measure. I like to talk about praise. I gave you 10 reasons for praising God Sunday night. I'm talking about praise again tonight. I don't think people of God praise God enough. I really don't think we do. Now, I'm talking about praise, but let's talk about this. Be certain that you see praise not as some stopgap measure, some touchy ethereal thing without any real substance. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to get folks to run up and down the aisles and shout and quiver and shake and get all shook up. Oh, man, I'm praising the Lord and speaking some ecstatic language. I'm not trying to get you to do any of that stuff at all. I'm trying to get you to look how we can praise God and find rest. Our world is sick. Our world is full of sin. And our world just keeps pushing us to do more and more and more and more. And we're so busy and we're so drugged down and we're so messed up in our thinking. We need some rest. Everybody, come on, take a deep breath. We need just a rest. Now, don't fall asleep. Lots of the arguments against praise in churches as a vital part of our lives is that it's just an emotional excess. When Jesus comes back and God's creation is fully righted and we have the fullness of rest, by the way, when you have the fullness of rest when Jesus Christ comes, let me tell you this, you're not going to sleep. That's not what it's talking about. Fellas, we're not going to have perpetual tea times on the golf course. That's not the rest. Nate, We're not going to go fishing every single day. It's just not going to happen. That's not what he's talking about. We're not going to go to the lake and get that seaside cottage, and that's not the rest either. And I believe somehow that God's going to abolish daily planners when he comes. You know what's going to happen in eternity? You're not going to look at your daily planner. We're not going to go, Brother Ronnie, on the golf course and go golfing all the time. You know what you're going to do in eternity? Praise God. Somebody said, well, when we finally get to heaven, boy, I'm going to find me a good lake, prop my feet up, get my old fishing pole, and fish for a long time. That's what Nate would like to do. That's not going to happen. But what is going to happen? We're going to praise God. Come on, amen? Don't miss this now, because this is God's refreshment for your life, praising God. Our real rest is in a delight in who the Lord is in our lives. That's the rest. Who is God in my life? This delight is at the core of praise. It is the song of the seventh day, or the Sabbath day. When God's people come together and worship and magnify him, at the heart of rest and refreshment is a fresh view of the God of glory. He'll give you rest. The Lord of life. Here, God's people find courage to forge the course that God has called you to and called you to live. Listen, it does not matter. I'll say it one more time. Who's in the White House? God is still on the throne. And as we focus on him and give him praise, something happens to your body. Something happens to your spirit. He relieves the tension and he relieves the pressure and he gives you a sense of security and wonderful praise and adoration unto God, and you come away from his presence feeling so strengthened. What a God we serve. Roman numeral number one. It is good to give thanks to the Most High because of the great things he has done. Now let's read. We just can't. This is powerful. I open up my Bible, and every time I open up my Bible, start studying and praying, even though I'm maybe a little upset or depressed, this helps me so much. Just look here. It is a good thing. I need some amens and praise the Lord as I read. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Don't quit on me. Upon an instrument of 10 strings. I don't know. Is there an instrument of 10 strings? There's a 12-string guitar in there. Yeah, but you have to have two of those strings to break to have 10 strings. You know, I wonder if the Lord, honestly, I wonder if the Lord is talking about these. That's what it says here, right? Did you read what I read? For an instrument of 10 strings. Is there an instrument with 10 strings? I'm asking some music people. I don't have any idea. Does a harp have 10 strings? Has more than that, doesn't it? A lot more. Okay. What is it, please? Has 10 strings? Okay. All right. Well, these are 10 strings, too. So maybe you can clap your hands once in a while to not be so bad. Oh, this is good. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harps, with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I wonder how the folks out in Radio Land understand how we feel, how glad we are. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Powerful words in Psalm 92. Praise is absolutely essential because it does two major things. Number one, it puts God in the proper place. Secondly, it puts life in its proper perspective. It brings rest from the rat race around us, and it brings rest for my heart. When Elijah was at the bottom, the Lord came to him and called for him out of his cave of self-pity and discouragement and depression. Remember that? Elijah was in depression. He said, I just need to die. Nothing's working out for me now. I'm the only one left. There's nobody like me. And God called him out of that pit of depression and discouragement and self-pity with a fresh look on the Lord of life, the call of praise. The first thing is to look up to God. Look up, everybody. Not look out, but look up. Look up to who? Look up to God. Look up to Washington, D.C., not on your life. Look up to our legislators, not on your life. Look up. Look up to God. Come on, everybody, get our perspective right. Let's look up to God. Look up and grasp the loyal love of the Lord for your life. When we look up to God, it's the first thing that grabs our hearts and draws us to praise is His loyal love. Look up. It's right. It's proper. It's worthwhile. It's beneficial. Look up to the Lord. When I look up to God, who is my God, my heart is drawn upward in praise because He, my God, is absolutely reliable. He is certain, and my God is without error. My God has no error. It's the anchor of the covenant. Do you need some rest tonight? Look up. Get a fresh view of God and who He is. He is loyal love. He is faithfulness. And we have much to praise Him with resounding music. There's an outward force. It's vocal and public. It is the song of the day of rest. It starts, however, in theology. You see, it comes from knowing who God is. Do you, ladies and gentlemen of this church, know really who God is? Do you know who He is? And does that knowledge lift your soul to glorify His name? You ought to be able, no matter what the occasion, what's going on, be able to grab this book and read a psalm or read something in here and let that word speak to you and let that lift you up and give you the rest you need every single day of your life. No matter how troublesome the burdens, no matter how hard the heartache, no matter what went wrong, God is your God. He is certain. He is reliable. He is there. He always will be there. Get your book. Open it up. Let the pages speak to you. Let the words buoy your spirit. Oh, my God, lift me up today. Look up. Look up to God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It starts in theology. Look up for rest. If you want to see beyond the tragic and the terrible, and the sadness and the sickness, the first thing is to look up. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Most High. Secondly, let's read, if you will, verses 4 through 7 one more time. And we'll look at Psalm 92, verse 4, "For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will trump in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." Another major component of praise comes in these verses. When we look up to God in praise, we are awed by the grandeur of His design. His righteous dealings, His loyal love, His faithfulness, the breadth and the depth of God's supreme majesty. God's works draw us to be glad and sing for joy at their greatness. This particular song lays stress to God's unquestionable righteousness. His love is without waver. It's loyal love. His truth is without end. It's everlasting. Go with me to Psalm 14 and verse number 1. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bible. But look at this this verse in Psalm. Because it's the fool. I didn't write it. God wrote it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You see, it says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Thank God that we know there is a God. But the fool has said, there is no God. At the heart of atheism is no praise to God. Praise of God is not an optional concept, folks. Listen, do you understand tonight that praise is not an optional concept? It isn't a fad. It is the core. It is the core of our faith as Christians that we praise the Lord. One of the ways that the ungodly crowd has gotten so much in America is because we as Christians don't praise God like we ought to. We come to God's house and we have to be spurred all the time to praise God. We have to be punched all the time to lift up a hand or say hallelujah or praise the Lord. And we have to always, and if nobody did push us, we never would say much. And that's the sad part about Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to praise God for. He is the wonderful Savior. Oh, all the worldly crowd speaks their mind and says it over and over and over again, and the Christian crowd just doesn't say much at all. Look up tonight. Be awed. Man, talk about how you feel about the great God of the universe. I'm not making anything up. This is what the Bible tells me about God. He is a wonderful God. The fool, however, has said there is no God. But at the core of our faith, it's the song of the Sabbath when God's people come together. Praise looks up to see afresh who God is and what God has done. Praise puts God in his proper place. The fool only pursues his own self-desires and selfish desires. Don't be deceived. Those desires often flourish, yet they flourish like grass. And they wither away. Are you listening to me? All those things that glitter, all those gimmicks, all those gadgets are like grass. Eventually they wither away. Look up in praise and be awed by the righteousness, the majesty, and the power, and the permanence of God. Put the Lord in his proper place. It will refresh you like nothing else. It's the life and breath of God's people. I'll tell you right now, if we're discouraged, if we're despondent today, it's because we haven't praised him. If we say, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to magnify the kingdom. I'm going to work my heart out. I'm going to praise God. How about you? God's people ought to stand up and praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Roman numeral 2, and I only have two Roman numerals. The greatness of the Lord places life in perspective. Let's look, if you will, in Psalm 92, verse 8 through 15. I said, the greatness of the Lord places life in perspective. Verse number 8, Psalm 92. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. O God, give me fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. When you put the Lord in his awesome place, you begin to drink in the power in your life, his meaning in your life, his hope in your life. He is. Hey, my God is. Listen, my God is the Most High. The God of this Bible is the Most High. No doubt, no question. He is the Most High. He's the great God of the universe. He is. Perhaps praise is the pathway to perspective in this old rat race that surrounds us. Praise ought to stir your heart. Praise not only puts life in perspective, it puts renewal in our hearts. Two pictures. The picture is found in verse number 10. Follow me down to verse number 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I want you to see two pictures there. The horn, he says in verse number 10, first part of that verse, renews my strength. Seen in the imagery of the horn, the spiritual power comes through praise. You cannot have spiritual strength when you're complacent with the Lord. You cannot have spiritual praise and spiritual strength when we are complacent with God. Praise isn't emotional frenzy. That's not what praise is. It's our faith getting into focus. It puts the Lord where He must be and puts life in the right perspective. Then that last part of that verse 10 talks about praise renews my vitality to the Lord. It's the imagery of His anointing. Praise, vocal and public, refreshes our lives in the Lord's greatness, and it renews our dry souls. It also refreshes our perspective. Go back to verse number 9, if you will, please, and follow me, please. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord. This is a very important verse. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord. For lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Can I tell you something? If God's enemies are doomed, so are your enemies doomed. All those enemies against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother George, they're doomed. They're doomed because they're enemies of God. And all the enemies of God are doomed. This is a spiritual confidence in the face of problems. It's one of the products of praise. It plants you in a place where you can really, really grow. There's fruit here. There is strength here. Strength in praise. Fruit in praise. Don't miss where it takes place. By the way, where does it take place? Where does this praise take place? And where do we get this extra exuberance of praise and vitality and strength? Look at verse number 13. It tells you exactly where you get it. Unto thee have I cried. Oh, I'm sorry. Those that be planted where? Those that be planted where? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Where does this take place? At the house of God. We come to God's house, we praise God together. God refreshes us, God builds us. Gives us the right perspective in life. We leave church thinking, whoo, boy, it's been good to be in the house of God. Not because the preacher did such a good job or the singers did such a, but didn't those singers do a good job? Weren't you thrilled with those two teenage girls? Listen, those same girls are playing basketball. Not only can they play basketball, but they can sing. You know why? Because they have a heart for God. Those two girls love the Lord. I don't know how many times I've already talked to both those two girls over and over again in school, and they both have come into my office and say, "Preacher, we love the Lord. We want to do things right." Beth has said over and over again, "Pastor, I want to do things right. I don't want to be wrong. I want to do things right." Isn't that wonderful? So she gets up here and sings, and I was so blessed. I was hoping you were blessed as much as I was. It was a blessing. Listen, that's why we come. We come to sing. We come to make adoration to God. We come to hear the preaching. And all that does is build us up in the things of God as we hear about the great I am, this great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We sit here and we begin to praise the Lord, and suddenly our perspective in life changes. We see life from a different perspective. And I don't need a bunch of music twanging and twittering and people up on the platform skating around and swinging their hips. I just need to talk about Him. I don't even need background singers. I just need Jesus. And He will lift you up. Amen. No matter what the day is like. Praise builds up the community. Now, I did hear you, and I know you enjoyed that because I heard you saying amen and clapping pretty loud. Sometimes I wonder if we ought to clap for everybody because some folks who don't do so good don't get such a good clap. And other people who do good, they all get a big clap. And people say, amen, glory. Sometimes I feel bad about a preacher who never gets an amen. Some missionary come by or some preacher preach for me and all you sit there and just look at him. And he has to wonder, did I do okay tonight? What did I do? Man, lift it up, folks. Lift it up. Come on, amen. We have nothing to be ashamed about. Praise builds up the community. Not only in your spiritual strength and commitment are they renewed, but you're awed by his presence and his greatness, and that you're part of his powerful kingdom. Think about it. I'm part of his powerful kingdom. You understand who you are. And you renew others as you rejoice in the Lord's majesty, as you rejoice in the victory and the tenderness of God. Your feet are planted in the soil of praise. And then it becomes very vocal. It's public flowing from our hearts and the hearts of others. It's a stirring. Listen, it's all right for us to sing. It's all right for us to sing loudly. It's all right for us to rejoice. It's all right for somebody to raise their hand. It's all right for somebody to clap their hands. It's all right for somebody to say, amen, praise the Lord. And it's all right, ladies, for you as well as the men. Because you're a child of God, just like they are. Amen. Dynamic, inspiring, God-focused, life-building, vitality, sustaining. Wow, praise builds up productivity, spiritual vitality. There's a flow of life through the heart of praise. You know why? Because the Lord's in that stuff. There's vitality in life. That's exactly the opposite of those who disagree with God and disregard God. I was so thrilled. I once in a while get on Facebook and look at some of the comments, and Janice Stinson had a wonderful comment, and she said it very, very well, talking about the election and talking about certain situations. And somebody came back on there and lambasted her, and she came back with a really sweet answer, I thought. And then Melanie Wiesner had another little answer on there, and it was so good. I went to Melanie today. I said, Melanie, would you please write me a sermon so I can preach it sometime? I said, you did a great job. I mean, it was awesome. You know, and what I'm saying is that, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed. We have a great God. And what he says is going to stand. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Look up. Be awed. See life. Help me. Say it with me. Look up. Everybody. Look up. Be awed. See life. That's how it should be. We have a great God. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. We have a great God. Don't look at the world. Don't let them get you down to mully grubs. Having your belly rub the ground. Stand on your feet and look up. Be awed. See life. Praise builds productivity. You understand? The ungodly disregard God's majesty. They are short-lived. It is impossible for someone who is looking to the Lord to say, I just don't have anything to praise him about. That's impossible for you to say that. You could never say that to me and be honest. Well, preacher, if I would say to you, come on, somebody just praise the Lord. You sit there and say, I just have nothing to praise the Lord about. That is utterly impossible. Everybody has something to praise the Lord about. Amen? Everybody has something to praise him. Song says, look up, drink of his loyal love. every morning. Cling to his faithfulness every night. Be awed, A-W-E-D, be awed by his great works and great righteousness, and see life. As you gain sight and strength through praise, see life. Life is wonderful. See life. Life is great with God. Come on, amen? It is. It may be that it's been a long time since you've looked at the Lord because the hassles of life, the hurts of the heart, the bitterness that's kept you away, and maybe the toil on you, you've lost your grip. Maybe the old rat race of life has just consumed you. But today we can sing, look up, be awed, and see life. Life that is renewed and refreshed and restored must praise. It's not silent, but vocal. Our vitality in our life and our breath is to declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Stand up. Look up. Be awed. See life. Musical instrument folks are coming. What began in our hearts pours over into our lips, and in song, and in joy, and in exaltation. It cannot be self-contained. That's why you ought to be singing a song. If you hold back and you don't praise the Lord, you're robbing God of his due. Listen, is he worthy to be praised? Amen. Can I ask you one more time? Is God worthy to be praised? Amen. Then why would we stop short? He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be magnified. Now, if we don't teach our kids this, they'll never get it. Go with me to another set of scripture in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18, 19, and 20. When King Hezekiah was restored, he wrote a song from his own life about God's renewal and God's refreshment and God's restoration. Look at Isaiah 38, 18 through 20. For the grave cannot praise thee. Well, that's the truth. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, here it is, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore will I sing. Will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. See where it happens? In the house of the Lord, on stringed instruments and with our voices. We're going to praise God. But that's not just Old Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often should we do this? Somebody help me out. How often should we do this? Then I think we ought to do it continually. That's what the word says, we ought to do it, right? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When you use the fruit of your lips, that means the word's got to come out there. Oh, Lord, my God. Right? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Fruit of our lips. Going to praise God. I'm talking to a crowd that normally knows how to praise the Lord, and you're looking at me sort of funny tonight. My goodness, what's happening to us? Look up. Be awed. See life. There's a lot in front of us yet, folks. A lot of areas to conquer. Let's stand, shall we, together?